Daryl Pass is in the studio. You may recognize that voice. He's the senior manager of recovery support services at Kenneth Young Center. KennethYoung.org is the website. For those who haven't heard your message on our radio station, what does Kenneth Young Center do?
We are a 501c3 social service, and we do a plethora of things from prevention, treatment, recovery.
Prevention, treatment, and recovery. Yeah. But there was also a day coming up that had three letters, each associated with a word that's on brand for you.
Yes.
What were those?
It's Remember, Recover, Discover.
And that's a day that's coming up?
That's coming up September 28th, this Saturday, at our Elk Grove location, 1001 Rowling Road. It'll be from 1 to 4. And that is something that I created. This is the fifth annual for that. And what it is remember what it was like, recover from what it was, and discover a new way of living. That's recovery. So folks who have struggled with substance use and mental health, who have made it to the other side, been blessed to be there, it's a celebration of that.
So this is the fifth year you've done that. And
yes.
Then is it a walk or a rally?
No, what we have are great speakers. We have resources there. And it's a fellowship, just somewhat of a fellowship of celebration of recovery. We're just coming off of our overdose awareness event as well. That was August 31st.
How many people will show up at the RRD event?
It fluctuates, usually 100 plus.
And those are people who themselves have gone through some sort of recovery program?
Some of them, and then just some community folk and family.
It's personal to you, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Because you're an RRD.
I most certainly am.
Yeah.
And I do remember what it was like.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea, though. I suppose a lot of people might be inclined to forget that and just move on. You want them to remember that.
Here's a piece to that. For those of us who have been through the adversity of substance use, you know, that's and been able to, or, you know, I don't want to disqualify anyone, but some folks are just struggling right now and need someone in front of them who can be that example and motivation. So to be in that substance use adversity is pretty painful. It's just tough, John. It is. And we're sick. We're sick. And a lot of folks don't understand, and we have stigma labels and attitudes placed on us, and we're just good folks who are stuck in our trauma, and some of our trauma has come from our domestication. And, you know, you have to figure a way to get out of it. But the thing about recovery is, I tell folks all the time, you know, when you get to be an adult and you've been through certain things, you have to realize that you're not a victim. You're a survivor of that. And it's not your fault that we have this tick, but it's our responsibility to recover.
Yeah. You know, you and I were chatting off the air, and as we went on the air, we were still talking about the fact that you were showing me a picture of your son and his fiance.
His wife now.
His wife.
Married Friday, yes.
Yeah. And I'm just always happy to hear you relate to me personally how your family is still part of your life.
Absolutely.
I would imagine it would be very easy for them to have been done with you.
Absolutely. I mean, listen, I don't take that for granted at all.
Yeah.
Because I have associates and friends who were not as blessed in that arena. And so I put in a lot of work. And for me, John, it was about focusing on me, working on me, my internal stuff, and then the external stuff has a way of coming together. I'm a good guy, man. You know, and I love very hard. And my family and friends, I was just bad. I was just in it, and they were just done, you know. But when you clear yourself up and you start continuously putting that good stuff there, man, the scars, they remain, but they heal. You know what I mean? And the more good stuff you put there, though, that bad stuff is just, it's in a rearview mirror, man. It's just a haze.
You know, it's also just nice to hear you talk like that, because you do get the sense in your voice that this is a good life reclaimed. It's like, who knew this Daryl Pass guy?
They didn't. Because I didn't know me. See, that trauma, you know, had me disrupted. I didn't know me. I never knew how to love or be loved. you know, and I grew up angry and just all this stuff.
Is your family then surprised at what a positive, cheerful sounding guy you are or can be?
Not surprised, because my mother always told me that she knew my heart, but she didn't know part of my trauma was that I was sexually abused as a kid. I never told anybody.
Yeah.
And so what does that do? That disrupts your trust, your self-worth, you're angry, and all of that. And so you grow up with that. Then you add drugs and alcohol and promiscuity into the equation. It's a recipe for disaster.
How's business for you guys these days?
Absolutely awesome, man. Our living room is really taking off.
Yeah, talk about that. What's the living room?
The living room is simply awesome, man. It's a crisis situation where anyone who is struggling with mental issues or need assistance with substance use and resources, and we have peer support.
It's a drop-in center.
It's a drop-in center, most certainly is. And it's being utilized in an unbelievable way. We got some great folks working over there, and we're reorganizing our clinical team. Our wait list has just about diminished for clients getting in. The senior services is roaring. We're just doing some great things at Kenneth Young, man. I'm super, super grateful and proud to be a part of this organization.
Describe for me one or two of your, I'll use the word clients, people that use your services. Tell me more or less about some of them.
Clients who use the services are people who are, you have some people who are dual diagnosed. And so we have the clinical end and we have the non-clinical end. The clinical end is where the therapists, the counselors, the pharmacy, and different things like that. The non-clinical end is where we have the living room. We have the recovery support services. We have coaching, CRSSs, and things of that sort. So the typical client, it depends on the need. I'm working with folks through my Smart Recovery group. I had a lady reach out to me yesterday, as a matter of fact, 42-year-old son. You know, he struggles with social anxiety and alcohol, and he doesn't do well in the groups because of that. And so she asked him to, you know, told him about me, and I actually had a conversation with him over the phone. And she said that was huge, because he would go to his groups, he would go to therapy, and he wouldn't go in. That social anxiety is crippling. So what would he do? He'd come back home. And he self-medicate. Hmm. So it's things like that, you know?
Is it true also, I mean, you and I have talked about this before, and I want to make sure I understand, because sometimes when we talk about the Kenneth Young Center, I say something like, it's not a switch that you just flip. It might be a process for people.
It most certainly is.
So in other words, somebody in a group might say, I didn't use drug 10 times this week, but I did use them 5 times this week. And that...
You applaud that.
Really?
It's harm reduction.
Yeah.
See, you don't get to gauge how quickly or when a person recovers. That is up to their motivation. We had a huge discussion on my group this past Saturday about harm reduction and abstinence, because I'm not a harm reduction guy. I'm not. One is not enough and 1,000 is too many for me. But I know people who can come from heroin and smoke marijuana and be okay. But then there's this population like myself who we cannot wade in that pool at all, because what it does is it leads me to, which I really enjoy, which is the opioid. And I'm not willing to relinquish what I've accumulated in terms of being sober myself, my internal, not the external stuff, but just I'm just such... It's good now, man. That's all I can say. It's just life is just good without that.
Is your attitude about that unique in the recovery arena?
I will support you and meet you wherever you are.
Yeah, but I wonder if somebody from AA or some other program would look at your program and say, no, it has to. I'm not going to applaud you if you're using marijuana or if you're only using drugs 5 times a week.
You can feel however you want to feel, but I'm going to walk beside that person and help them in whatever way I can, because I'm not God. I don't get to judge you. in how you are trying to move forward. Yeah. Because today you might practice harm reduction. 2 weeks from now, you may throw up your hands and say, you know what? I'm done. I want to practice abstinence altogether, but I don't turn my back on you because you're not doing how I think you should do or what some book is saying that, you know, in order for you to be okay, you have to be abstinent.
But is your goal for abstinence?
No. For me, it is. But I don't get to gauge you, John. If you decide that you want to come off of this and do this, I have to support you.
Harm reduction.
Yes, that's a real thing. I cannot turn my back on you.
Talking to Daryl Pass, the Senior Manager of Recovery Support Services at Kenneth Young Center. You hear him sometimes on those commercials on WGN, the guy with the distinct voice, and he comes in our studio once in a while. Here's a couple of texts, Daryl. John, once again, thank you for bringing KYC, is that you guys?
Yes.
Kenneth Young Center, to your listeners. Kenneth Young Organization has been my lifeline and my family for 8 years now. They have an awesome staff.
Wow.
You've been doing it that long, 8 years?
Yeah. They have been. I've only been there for coming up on six. So he's probably talking about clinical.
Does Kenneth Young deal with senior depression?
We have therapists for that, yes.
Yeah. But I have in my mind that you deal with a younger clientele.
Well, I wouldn't know because on the Smart Recovery groups, I have a gentleman as old as 70 years old. He just celebrated 70 last week. So I go from, now we do have the Restorative Smart, which is for the youth up to 19 years old. But my group ranges anywhere from 20 plus up to 70.
Wow. And just one last question about you personally, because you're so candid about it, and I suspect it relates to other people. How much of a cloud is it that follows you, the notion that you will relapse?
There's not. I'm dying sober.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I am dying
and is that
sober.
But that's probably not, a lot of us know a lot of people who have been clean and and lost their sobriety.
Mm-hmm. I would rather, this is for me, I can't speak for anyone else. I keep in front of me the horror that I was in and what I put my family through. And to come from two overdoses, survive that, and all of the internal stuff I've worked through, man, I'm telling you, I put head to pillow, and I have peace. Oh, man.
There's not a pang? You're not jonesing for it?
No.
I'm glad to hear that.
We were at my son's celebration for, you know, he got married. There's alcohol all around. Now, I'm not saying everybody can do this. Let me preface that. I'm not saying everyone can do this. But I know people who do. It's just not an option for me today.
Yeah, yeah. So people aren't squishy around you.
I don't tolerate that because you have to be happy and okay. I have the issue. Don't you change who you are because I cannot handle this substance.
Is it possible, says this listener, for someone in later life to become sober? We tried everything to help a person we know and nothing has worked.
As long as you're above ground, there's an opportunity. It doesn't change.
Do you have success stories? Somebody over the age of 50?
Absolutely. The guy is 70. I got a guy 70, 66, and 62 on my Smart Recovery groups. They show up every Saturday and Wednesday.
Wow.
Just got sober, you know, within the last few years.
Really?
Yes.
This is from 60 Minutes. Fentanyl was responsible for more than 70,000 deaths last year. The U.S. is, quote unquote, losing a generation to fentanyl. DEA Administrator Ann Milgram said in an interview with 60 Minutes, nearly all of the fentanyl in the U.S. is made by two cartels in Mexico with materials purchased primarily from China. They say that fentanyl is 50 times more powerful than heroin. It was developed for people that were in extreme pain. It would be prescribed by doctors, but now it's everywhere. What are you finding about fentanyl?
Just what's been said. The potency. I was taught everything I've read and everything I've been taught is 100 times more potent than heroin. And, you know, what's scary about that is you have some folk who sample, you know, when you go through, when you're growing up, you know, you may be at a party and you're going to sample something. You know, you're not addicted to anything. That's a lot of the younger people who are dying from this. Fentanyl-laced Xanax pills, fentanyl-laced oxycodone. You know what I mean? They're putting fentanyl on everything, but there is a fallacy about it going on marijuana and in vape pens. It's impossible because it burns it up. You know what I mean? It doesn't last. The heat kills. But they're putting it on everything. And the issue, John, is what I call them are street chemists. These individuals who will get a product of heroin or cocaine that's weak, and they want their clientele, so they don't know what they're doing. They're just lacing it with this.
Inexpensive to produce.
Absolutely. They're lacing it with this death that I call it, and people are losing lives.
So what's a fentanyl test strip then?
Fentanyl test for the existence of fentanyl. So if I'm sitting here, John, and I have some heroin, I can, you know, take my little vial and put a little water in it and put a little of the fentanyl, I mean, the substance I'm using in that, take the test strip, put it in there for a second, lay it down. It will tell me if it's negative or positive. Not a piece to it. It doesn't tell me the strength. It just will show the existence of fentanyl, not the strength.
And then, but that's kind of funny. So here's a person who's about to use cocaine or heroin or something,
mm-hmm.
but they're going to test it for fentanyl?
You'd be surprised. A lot of folk, man, when we have tablings and lay out those test strips, they eat them up.
And when they test positive for fentanyl, what is that person inclined to use? Do they want the fentanyl because it's more?
It depends. It depends. It's another form of harm reduction, John. Some people will not use it, and some people, most folks who are just trying to practice the harm reduction and be safe, they're checking it out because, again, you got to remember, it doesn't test for the potency of the fentanyl.
I know, but it's still a lot to get your head around. If our idea was abstinence, and now you're saying, here's how to safely use heroin or cocaine.
You have to. Because you're going to use it. When I was using, you wouldn't stop me. But if I can, John, here's a piece to it. If I can help you to survive another day by giving you some harm reduction supplies, just maybe tomorrow you'll say, Daryl, I'm ready.
Because you've lived another day to say
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm out of time, Daryl. What else is coming up on your calendar?
We have the Seasons in Recovery coming up in December. December 7th at the Kenneth Young Center, the one in Schaumburg, though, that's a big one I created 3 years ago. And that one is where we celebrate the families of those impacted by substance use disorder and mental health.
If you want to know more about how they do what they do, you can click on kennethyoung.org, kennethyoung.org. Daryl Pass is the Senior Manager of Recovery Support Services there.
Hey, thank you, John, for having me, man.
My best to your family and you.
You as well.